It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug DeFeller.
So to the coaching perspective, and thanks for tuning in. We are here on octalkradio.net Thursday afternoon, 4 p.m., just like always. Well, today we're going to be talking about creating breakthrough ideas for either yourself or your coaching clients. You know, all of us tend to get stuck in certain thinking patterns, and breaking these patterns can help you and your coaching client generate new ideas. And our focus will be to introduce you to tools that will help you push your mind to create new connections, think differently, and consider new perspectives. You know, it's amazing how when you start thinking about something new, what you think is new, all of a sudden you see it everywhere around you. I was excited to talk about this topic today, and while I'm waiting for us to go on the air, I'm listening to the producer play SRN News, and they're talking about wristwatches that Qualcomm and I forget who else are introducing, and they're saying, you know, wristwatches aren't new. The industry practically died, but now they're coming back because they're going to turn them into small computers. And this is a new idea. Did they never read Dick Tracy comics? Come on. Anyhow, we're going to talk about new ideas and maybe even define what a new idea is, how you can come up with more new ideas, and how particularly you as a coach, what is your role? What's your obligation? What's the place, the space that you play in with your client coming up with new ideas? But we'll get to that in just a minute. Hey, if you're listening to our podcast, then I want to know why you didn't turn into the show live. Okay, so you had a good reason. But if you're listening to the podcast, thanks for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com, or our Podbean site, dgefeller.podbean.com, or, hey, our radio station. Well, be sure to check out our archives while you're there. Listen to some of the other great guests we've had on the show in the past years, months, weeks. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be in the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. So just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, and I'll be sure to respond, and we'll go from there. Well, you know, we have been coaching executives and business owners for 18 years under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. Our role is helping to create more effective teams, and we work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. But in all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual team member. We also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position, coaching, communication workshops, and coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills. One other announcement before we go on to today's topic. Next week, September 12th, Thursday, right after the show, I'll be rushing out of the studio down to the Wyndham Hotel for the monthly ICF Orange County Coaching Chapter meeting. Going to have a great panel talking. I say it's great. I'm going to be on the panel, but no. It's a great panel. We have three guests and a great moderator. We're going to be talking about unique ways to build your business. Dr. Frumi Rachel Barr, who's been a CEO, coach, confidant, and mentor, has really built her business through books and through advisory boards and virtual coaching. Mike Rafferty, whose business model is to assist you in marketing your business effectively and how to attract new clients, is going to be there on the panel. Of course, I'm going to share with you some of the uses of internet radio and how it has helped me with my coaching business. And Mike Brenhag is going to be moderating. Mike is an author of WTF, a book that he uses to build his own individual coaching practice. So 6 o'clock, Wyndham Hotel, 6 o'clock. You better go to the website and check it. I'm not sure. I have to get there a little early all the time. So I think it's 6 o'clock at the Wyndham Hotel, and you can go to the ICF Coaches of Orange County and look that up and get the information and register. Well, let's get into today's topic. Creating breakthrough ideas for you and your clients. You know, we're faced with a complex, open-ended, ever-changing challenges, and organizations realize that constant, ongoing innovation is critical to stay ahead of the competition. You know, we're always looking for that next new great idea. And this is why we have to be looking for them. It's competition. It's the fact that we're in an ever-changing society, the fact that things are moving at a pace that we just couldn't imagine even 5 years ago. So we're always on the lookout for ways to think differently, to generate new ideas, to spark creativity. You know, you hear a lot of seminars about creativity, and my tendency when I hear that is to tune out. I have to admit, I don't think of myself as a creative person. I think of, when you say creativity, I think of artists. I think of great photographers. I think of superb craftsmen. But really, creativity has to do with everything we do in the world, whether it's a creative way to discipline or bring up or instill lessons in your children, a creative way to train your dog, by the way, I could use those, or a creative way to run your business. So creative, let's not let that word sort of scare us away. That's why I titled this Creating New Ideas or Breakthrough Ideas, so that you wouldn't be frightened with that title, creativity. But you know, you need to work actively on building and cultivating this skill. It can be done if you make up your mind that, hey, I'm going to start thinking differently. I am going to actually work at building this muscle that helps me look at things in a different way. You know, we make the mistake of assuming that good ideas just happen. Or worse, we get caught in the mind trap that creativity is an aptitude that some people have and others don't. But those assumptions are rarely true. Anyone can come up with fresh, radical ideas. You just need to learn to open your mind and think differently, to ask questions, to listen. So we're going to talk today about some, you know, I kind of hate to do lists, but I have got a lot of tips, some more meaty than others, but all equally valuable. So it's sort of a, here's the smorgasbord, pick the ones that work for you and put them to work right away. You know, and again, isn't that the key to everything that is presented to us, everything that we learn? You know, we go to a seminar to learn. We read a book and we've learned something. We listen to somebody speak and we think we've learned something. But, you know, we really haven't learned anything, in my mind at least, until we apply it. We've taken it in, but learning, in my mind, is the art of taking in information and then interpreting it in our world, in your individual world, in your circumstances, and then applying it. Now, once you've applied it, then I think you're entitled to say, I learned how to do that. You know, have you learned to ride a bicycle because you watched a YouTube video on how to ride a bicycle? You know, I don't think so. You learn what's necessary to do it, but you have to get on the bicycle and do it. So think of that, or keep that in mind as we go through this list today of techniques, skills, muscle-building exercises for your mind that will help you break some of those thought patterns that are keeping you from being creative, keeping you from being innovative, and help you to build some muscle that will help you be more aware and more aware of the new ideas that are sitting around you. So first thing, challenge assumptions. You know, how many problems have I seen because we assumed something to be the truth? We assumed this to be facts, only to find out after maybe hours, maybe days, maybe weeks, maybe months, that assumption was no longer valid. You know, I am still getting people calling me for a reference on somebody that worked for me when I was in the building business 20 plus years ago and had a building company. And I have to fight that impulse to respond to, yeah, Paul worked for me and he was really a great project manager, because my assumption is Paul's the same person he was 20 years ago. Not a valid assumption. He is, in Paul's case, he's much smarter, much brighter, much more gray. So challenge assumptions. You know, for every situation, try to identify what are the assumptions you're working on, and then evaluate, are those assumptions still valid? Reword the problem. You know, the thing is that I think it was the name just left me. Boy, is that terrible. The statement was that no problem can be solved from the same perspective or the same set of information that created it. So you need to rework the problem, reword the problem. Just stating the problem differently many times gives you a different perspective. And as a coach, of course, that's our job. Our job as a coach is not to solve your problem, not to come up with your new ideas, but to ask you questions that are going to help you reframe the problem. Why do we need to solve the problem? What's the roadblock here? What will happen if we don't solve the problems? Sometimes those questions will give you insights that you didn't have. I can't tell you the exact circumstances, but I was in a fairly lengthy conversation with a client about a problem that they were talking about, only to finally get them to listen to the question of, is this your problem? No. Are you impacted, and is it your responsibility to solve this problem? No. Okay, so can we move on and forget this problem? Yeah. But they were caught up in it because it was somebody else's problem, somebody that they knew, somebody that they had concerns about, empathy for, but it wasn't theirs. There's another trick which is called thinking in reverse. I like this because my driving in reverse isn't that great. But if you cannot think of anything new, try turning things upside down. Try considering how would things be if this problem situation wasn't there. So if the problem is this product doesn't work, what would the situation be if you didn't have that product? This machine doesn't work. This person doesn't work with this person. How would it be if you changed it? How would it be if it was worse? You know, so you try to look at the opposite of what you are used to looking at. The other thing, and this one is just mind-blowing to me. I have seen it in action so many times. Express the problem in a different media. In other words, if I'm talking to you about the problem, I might ask you as your coach, draw me a picture of that problem. You know, don't tell me about it anymore, but draw a picture. Put it into a different format. Write it out. You know, how many times has somebody asked you to write down what it is that your concerns are, only to find out after struggling for a half hour with writing this thing down that it's one sentence long? So you put it in a different format. It automatically gives you a different perspective on the problem. It gives you a different idea. And you know what? You don't need to be a great artist. In fact, I think the worst you are at drawing something, the quicker you will find a solution by drawing a picture of what the problem is. Because you don't get hung up with what you're drawing, because you're not going to be graded on the drawing. You're just trying to get your thoughts out of your head onto a piece of paper. So looking at it through a different perspective. The other thing in coming up with new ideas is to get unconnected. In other words, what we're talking about is that if I'm telling you about a problem, I'm going to explain the problem by going down the same path that I've mentally been going down for the last week in dealing with this problem. And to think that anything new is going to come out of restating the problem exactly the same way I have been stating it is kind of ridiculous. It's Wooden's, I think, quote that says, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect different results. So you need to get unconnected. One of the ways is use random input. So in other words, open up the dictionary. If you still have a dictionary, go to your iPhone and look it up. Use Wikipedia, whatever today's current method is of getting reference words. Pick a word and see how this word relates to the problem that you're dealing with. How It might at first seem it doesn't relate to it at all, but the more you think about it, the more it's going to make you think about the problem from a different perspective. I don't know how many of you use mind mapping. I love mind mapping. Mind mapping is basically taking a piece of paper. Of course, you can do it on the computer. I like to do it on the computer. But take a piece of paper, put the issue, a keyword or phrase in the center of the paper, or a picture of the problem in the center of the paper, and then just draw lines and connect, making like a wheel, random, on the paper, ideas, things that contribute to the problem, things that would happen if you didn't solve the problem, things that people that are impacted by the problem, things that you think might be the solution to the problem. Just start to draw and put those things on the page and connect them with little lines as to which is the hierarchy. What is the hierarchy in terms of these issues? So maybe all the solutions are in one side and all of the contributing factors are on another side, or all are in a circle and the people impacted are in squares, whatever. But the mind mapping, the idea of taking a blank piece of paper and not be restricted to lines or format, sort of opens up your mind to new ways of looking at the problem. Another way to get unconnected with the problem is, besides picking a word, take a picture or take an item off your desk. So what I've got sitting on my desk right now, obviously a large Starbucks cup. So if I'm thinking of a problem, I'm thinking, okay, how does this cup relate to that problem? Gee whiz, there's writing on this cup, and they've got their logo on this cup, and they sold me this cup, and it's refillable, and it's reusable, and it doesn't leak, and it keeps things cold and hot. I mean, how does any of that apply to the problem that I'm thinking of trying to solve? So those are ways to sort of try to get disconnected from the way you've been thinking about this problem. Now, sort of along the same path is shifting your perspective about the problem. My business is called The Coaching Perspective. I love the word perspective, and I think it is key to coaching, because in my coaching, my job is not to solve your problems, not to give you the solutions. I think my job is to get you to look at your problems from a different perspective. If you can look at it from different perspectives, from multiple perspectives, I think in most cases, the solution, the best solution, becomes obvious. So what do you do to get different perspectives? Well, one, ask somebody else. Get somebody else to give them your perspective on the problem. Try not to load them up with your opinions, but give them the facts. Another way that's kind of fun is to play the if I were game. So I'm dealing with a problem, and I'm going, you know, if I were Donald Trump with all of his money and all of his connections, how would I deal with this problem? If I were the star of Undercover Boss on TV, how would I deal with this problem? You know, so automatically when you pick a person, you think about what are the attributes that that person is bringing to the problem. So I've said if I were on Undercover Boss, so I'm thinking, okay, the attributes that the star of Undercover Boss would bring to this problem is, hey, they're undercover. Nobody knows who they are. They get to observe everything that's going on. They aren't a threatening, they don't have a threatening position in the organization, so people kind of spill their guts about what the real facts are and what their real opinions are. You know, so I'm starting to get a different perspective on dealing with the problem because I've picked a different person to look at the problem. You know, one of the things is that you have to get yourself in the right frame of mind if you're going to solve a problem. There's a writer that talks about employing enablers, and he lists a few. He says, you know, one is you've got to believe in yourself. If you're going to work, if you're going to come up with new ideas, believe that you can come up with ideas. One is create time for coming up with ideas. He calls it loafing time. I call it taking intelligent breaks. You know, sometimes I can sit at my desk for hours and accomplish nothing. And I think I worked really hard because I sat here thinking about the issue for hours. And yet, if I get up, go make a cup of coffee, go sit outside in the sun for 10 minutes, I come back and the problem is solved. I have a different perspective. That change of environment, for me, getting out of the air conditioning, getting into some sunlight. I had a client one time who said his goal for the next 3 months was to get a minimum of 10 minutes of sunlight every day. And I thought, what in the world is he talking about? And as I thought about it, I thought, how often do I spend just sitting in the sun or walking in the sun? Hey, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, today we're scared to death to get out in the sun for fear we're going to get skin cancer, but 10 minutes isn't going to hurt you. And what does that do? For me, going out and sitting in a chair in the sun and letting it beat down on me is so relaxing. My mind starts to float. It gets unencumbered. I've also changed the environment. I'm in a different space. It's a different atmosphere. Sometimes I need an environment that's active. I go into a Starbucks and there's all these people doing things and I get rejuvenated because I've been sitting at my desk all by myself in my home office and going stale. Other times I want to leave the activity and go off to a quiet space because that's what I need. Sometimes I need to shut out the distractions, both literally and mentally. I need to focus on what I'm doing. And focus is such a key word. We could talk all day long just about the ability to focus. The more you work on your ability to focus on something, the easier it is for you to solve it because you're getting rid of all the peripheral things that have nothing to do with it. And you know, and this one is my favorite, you need to make some of this coming up with new ideas or solving problems or getting new perspectives, make it fun. You know, I once sat in on a meeting and they said, you know, we want to talk about something serious. We want to talk about a new service that we can offer to our existing clients. We've got these great clients. They already like us. We already own them. There's no cost to acquire a client, but they bought our product. They bought our service. What else can we sell them? So before I go around the room and ask you to start giving me ideas, every idea you suggest has to be funny. Let's be ridiculous. What are you going to do? What can we offer them that is just really silly, way out there? And out of that meeting and discussion came some really great ideas because people were suddenly released into the idea of, I don't have to be serious. I don't have to prove that it's a great idea. It can be silly. It can be laughable. And hey, while we're laughing at it, all of a sudden somebody goes, you know what? That's a great idea. I never thought of it. Let's give away the printers and make our money on selling the ink cartridges. What a great idea. Okay? So the key point here in breaking the thought patterns that we have found have really restricted us is that the ability to generate new ideas is a work skill. A skill that you can acquire by consciously practicing techniques that force your mind to forge new connections, break old patterns, and consider new practices. So you need to do these things if you're going to come up with some new ideas. There is a great book. It's called Stay Positive, Daily Reminders from Positively Present. And it's by Daniela DePiro. DePiro. The book was written in 2012. And these are a few of the points that she makes in the book about having an open mind, that you can't come up with new ideas unless you have an open mind. One is let go of control. You know, don't let yourself dream. Let yourself not have to worry about how people are going to perceive you. Let yourself not worry that you have to be the one to solve it. Just let go of the control feature. Experience changes. Open up yourself to new ideas and new viewpoints, okay? And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. Make yourself vulnerable. Admit that you don't have the answers for everything, okay? Admit that you don't know it all. Make some mistakes. Don't worry about being perfect. We can survive mistakes. Just don't keep making the same one over and over. Be honest with yourself. Listen more than you talk. You know, Stephen Covey's seven habits, one of them is Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Listen first. You know, we stop multitasking. I'm talking to you right now. You're listening to this show live or on the podcast, and I'll bet you you're doing something else. You're sitting there, you're texting, you're reading emails. You're not getting the full advantage of what we're talking about because you're not focused in on the topic. Stop multitasking. Listen genuinely and deeply at least 70% of the time that you're interacting with others. There's critical nuances that you miss when you're not focusing. How many of us have sat in a meeting and realized that because we were taking notes and writing things down, we missed the next point that the speaker went on to make? Remember in school, you were taking notes madly because this might be on the test, might be on the midterm. And while you were writing down that key point the professor made, he had gone on to something else, and all of a sudden you realize you only heard half his sentence. It's the same thing with everything we're doing every day, every place. Stop multitasking. I think the second most important thing is avoid making snap decisions. You know, we are so anxious to come up with a solution that we don't hear all of the facts. You know, for 19 years, I ran executive forums for CEOs that met once a month for a half day. And each meeting, the CEOs would bring in an issue that they wanted the rest of the group to give them input on. And we had a foolproof method of dealing with those issues. Number one, the CEO said, without any interruptions, he got a limited amount of time to talk about what his issue was. Once he was finished, we then went around the room, and you could ask clarifying questions so that you understood what the issue was. You could not offer any solutions. You could not tell any of your own stories about how you went through the same thing. All you could do was ask clarifying questions. Once everybody agreed that they understood what the problem was, and let me pause here because I almost never saw this happen, that the problem didn't get restated through the group asking clarifying questions. Once we understood what the problem was, we asked the executive to restate it. Now it's different than it was the first time. Then we went around the room, and each person got to present one solution. Not 15, not 10, one that they thought was relevant to what was going on. Nobody was supposed to tell any of their stories about how they've been through the same thing, because that wasn't the purpose of the exercise. You can do that when we take a coffee break. You need to learn to do the same thing in your everyday conversations. It doesn't have to be a formal executive group with 12 people with a professional facilitator. It's practicing it in a one-on-one conversation. I'm talking to producer Paul. We're having a conversation. He's telling me about an issue. I'm asking clarifying questions. I'm making sure I understand what his issue is. Now that I think I've got it, I'm going, would you tell me once again, just so I'm sure I've got it, what is it you really are struggling with, Paul? Then when he tells me, is it okay if I give you some suggestions? You know, that is truly an engaging conversation. And once I have given him suggestions, what's the number one thing he needs to do? He needs to thank me for those suggestions. If you ever want another suggestion from me, let me know you appreciated what I just did. You know, in creative thinking and breakthrough ideas, you need to be frank, and you need to encourage the people you're working with and talking to for them to be frank, for them to be open and honest. How many times has somebody said, hey, Doug, I want you to tell me the truth. How did you think that presentation went? And after I tell him it sucked, it's a technical term we use, he says, you know, I'm never going to ask you again. Well, you know, if you don't want honest feedback, don't ask for it. And you need to be careful that when somebody's asking you for it, that they really want it. You know, you need to hunt for new opportunities. If you have an open mind and you're looking for new ideas, understand that you're not going to sit in a room all by yourself and come up with a great one in the next 10 minutes. How many attempts did Thomas Edison make before he invented the light bulb? Do you know? History says that they feel that it took him 10,000 tries before he invented the light bulb. Colonel Sanders, his great tried and true chicken recipe, okay? How many times to come up with his recipe? 1,009 times he failed before he came up with the right recipe. So, get ready to practice with this. Well, look, I've got some more I want to share with you. I want to come back and talk about some zero-based thinking for coming up with creative ideas, breakthrough ideas, but let's go to commercial right now, and I'll be right back.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
And we're back today. This is Doug Gefeller talking to you from the Coaching Perspective Radio Show, and we're talking today about creating breakthrough ideas for you and for your coaching clients. So, what have we said? What have we resolved so far? I'm not going to go through that all over again, but let's talk about mental clarity. You know, there's an article that was written by Alex Mathers, M-A-T-H-E-R-S. It says, how to create big ideas through zero thinking right now. And I really like his basic premise. He says, mental clarity will eventually lead to strong idea generation. And what he's talking about with mental clarity is the opposite of this multitasking that we're all doing. He's really talking about something that you would call meditation. I hesitate to use that, and he says the same thing, because people immediately jump to, well, this is going to be religious, it's going to be spiritual, this is for a bunch of hippies. No, we're just talking about getting comfortable, focusing on your breathing for 5 minutes, and allowing yourself to become detached so that your mind can wander, take advantage of the knowledge that's locked up inside your brain, and present new input. Let it get out through your mouth, through the top of your brain, so that you can work with it. So he gives some quick tips. I'm going to give them to you. You might want to try this while we're sitting here right now. Sit upright, someplace that's comfortable, distraction-free. I'm watching the producer. He's doing that. Way to go, Paul. Relax the entire body. Keep the spine straight. No leaning over. Don't fall asleep. Focus on a point directly in front of you, slightly above eye level. You could close your eyes if you want. I think it's better to focus on something above eye level. Commit to coming up with an idea for anything that you like on any project that you're working on. Just mentally commit. I'm going to come up with something in this session. Now we're not going to do this, but spend at least 5 minutes focusing on your breathing. In and out, in and out. While you're doing that, be aware of any thoughts that come up and come into your mind. Be aware of them, but don't hold on to them. Don't follow them down the rabbit trail, so to speak. You've got a thought, just let it go. You'll come back to it later. You'll remember it. Don't get engaged with it. Just simply drop it and let it pass. Do this for as long as you like. Continue to focus on your breathing, being aware, but sort of detached from any thoughts. Now, when you're done, what you will find is ideas popped up that you can now go back and explore. So this is sort of like watching a movie. You're sitting back and watching the movie going on in your head while you're focusing on the breathing. And this movie is supposedly random thoughts, but they're all not really random because they're somehow in your brain, in your experiences, they're attached in some tenuous way to the idea, the topic, the subject that you're trying to come up with new ideas to. It's a way of getting ready. Now, we're going to talk some more about how to have an open mind and allowing yourself to do this. You know, this is we've talked about multitasking as a bad thing. This is not multitasking, but this is the fact that take advantage of your dead time. When I'm saying dead time, I mean time when you have nothing to do. I'm sitting on the freeway. You know, took me 45 minutes this morning to go 4 miles. I had plenty of time because driving is an automatic thing. I had plenty of time to think about something else. Standing in line at the bank, standing in line at Starbucks. What am I thinking about? I can be thinking about some major problem I've got going on. I can be observing what's going on around me and seeing, is there a connection in any other way in which they're doing things? You know, I can't tell you how much benefit I get from going to Starbucks besides the coffee. I look at the way they deal with their customers. I look at the way they merchandise their products. I look at the way that people interact in the space that they've created. And I think about, how do I create that kind of an environment in my coaching conversations? How do I get my customers to be as addicted to me as I am to Starbucks coffee? It isn't the world's best coffee, but it's my first place to go if you say coffee. So how do I do that? There was a pause there. I had to drink the coffee. It's psychological. Okay, so use your dead time. Another one, and I've never seen this one before. It really is kind of interesting from Mather's article. Reflect on your belief system. What he says is, write down on a piece of paper your beliefs. And I'm not necessarily talking religious beliefs, but your beliefs. I believe in being honest. I believe in giving full value. I believe in working 8 hours a day, whatever your beliefs are. And once you've sort of done those, pick a belief each week and explore whether this belief is still valid and is working well for you. You know, it's sort of like when I get a new business client, a corporate client, and they want me to come in and coach their management team. One of the first things that I look at is I want to look at, this is not necessarily coaching, maybe more consulting. I want to look at, show me anything that you've been doing for 5 years, that you've been doing the same way for 5 years. Because this is a target-rich environment for me. Anything that you've been doing, any procedure that you've got, anything that has remained unchanged for 5 years, there is almost guaranteed a better way to do it today. But nobody's been looking at it. Because if it ain't broke, we aren't going to fix it kind of philosophy. That doesn't mean there isn't a better way to do it, a more cost-effective way, a way with more benefits. So look at your beliefs. Besides dealing with your mind, you want to push your body. You know, you can't be sharp mentally if you're struggling physically. And I'm not talking about if you've got some physical impairment. That's an issue you've learned to deal with. I'm talking about those of us that eat the wrong stuff and therefore we create a sluggish mental attitude. I'm talking about those of us that go around and around the parking lot to get the space 2 steps from the front door at the gym. So we're talking about some simple things. This is kind of fun. Walk backwards through your whole house. Be careful you don't fall down, but just walk backwards through the whole house. It'll give you a different perspective on what your house looks like. And different perspective is what we're talking about here. Physically do something new. Take up a martial arts class. Learn how to do some dancing. Go hang gliding. Go surfing. Do something outside your comfort level. Doesn't have to be dangerous, but do something outside your comfort level. I have a Bible study group I meet with every Friday, and once a year, the end of summer, We celebrate the end of summer by meeting before sunrise at the beach, and we each go and sit on the beach and sort of have our moments of an hour of meditation by ourselves. I'll tell you what an eye-opener it is to sit there and watch the sunrise on the beach, especially recognizing that I am not more than 3 miles from the beach, and that is the only time of the year that I go down and enjoy that, as if I need somebody's permission to go down and do that. I come away totally rejuvenated with a new perspective, refreshed, vitalized. One of the things is it stimulates my eyes. I'm looking at something different. I'm looking at the sunrise. It's different. Maybe you want to go to an art gallery. Maybe you want to go to a movie. You know, for years, I talked to people about the fact that I think one of the ways to get new ideas is I would go once a month to Barnes & Noble, and I would buy 3 or 4 magazines that I had never read before that I probably had no interest in. It could be Crocheting Monthly, Basket Weaving 201, How to Nurse Your Child, whatever. And these were books that I read not because I was interested in them, not because the subject appealed to me, but because they opened up a new group to me, a different way of thinking. And out of them, invariably, either in the articles or in the ads that were in them, I would see something and go, you know what? They're talking about how they're doing this in their crocheting circle, but this is a great tool for getting conversations going in our executive group. So do that. Stimulate your ears. Besides your eyes, your ears. Listen to some new music that you haven't listened to. Learn new things. You know, besides magazines, today it's kind of tough, but nobody, you know, there's not that many magazine stands available anymore. So you can do it from home. I don't know of any way to exhaust the endless supply of information that's available on YouTube. You know, it's been a great summer because when you're like me and you tend to watch quite a bit of television in the evening, a couple of hours, and summer is full of reruns, what are you going to do? I mean, it's withdrawal. I resort to YouTube. And there's all kinds of things to watch on YouTube. So one night I'm watching information on dogs. Hey, if you haven't seen Too Cute, you ought to watch it. You know, the next night I'm watching something about the History Channel. And the next night I'm watching something on how to change the battery and the key fob for my car, because I don't know how to do that, but some 12-year-old kid showed me how to do it. So I was thankful for that. Lots of places to go to learn new things, and that's what it's all about. If you keep improving your learning, improve your literacy, explore other cultures, face your fears. You know, what is it you're afraid of learning? Does the computer scare you? Does talking in public scare you? There is a great confidence that you can develop by facing something that scares you and mastering it. And I don't mean mastering it in the sense that I'm afraid to talk in front of people in public and I'm going to become a $5,000 a session dinner speaker. I'm talking about the fact that maybe you do it once so you can say, I did it. I talked to a group of 4 people. I stood up at Coco's and I gave a presentation on buying insurance. Whatever it is, try blocking one of your senses for a few minutes. You know, cover your ears, cover an eye. Hold your nose. See what it's like. Travel. What we're talking about here is ways to do is anything that is new. Exercising an open mind and stimulating your mind are different. So we're talking about some exercises that can sharpen your mind, your coordination, or your abilities. They don't necessarily give you more of an open mind, but they give you a sharpness to your mind that you can then use to further new thinking. Well, I'm going to kind of wind this up in a couple of minutes here with, I read an interesting article by Scott Belsky, Belsky. And the title of his article was, What Happened to Downtime? The Extinction of Deep Thinking and Sacred Space. I almost didn't read it because of that title. You know, that was going to scare me right away. Let me just tell you the synopsis. He said, interruption-free space is sacred. Yet in the digital era we live in, we are losing hold of the few sacred spaces that remain untouched by email, the internet, people, and other forms of distraction. Our cars now have mobile phone integration and 1,000 satellite radio stations. When walking from one place to another, we have our devices streaming data from dozens of sources. Even at our bedside, we now have our iPads with heaps of digital apps and the world's information at our fingertips. Have you been in a hotel lately? Went to a new hotel this last weekend. Actually, we were in Vegas. And I was really stunned because there were two places in the room where they had outlets for four devices to be plugged in all at the same time. Recognition by the hotel industry that the guest that it is arriving there to get away from everything, to go gamble, is bringing a minimum of four devices per guest to be plugged in to be recharged overnight so they can get digitally hooked up again the next morning. Hey, unplug, my friend. Find a way to remove yourself so that you can use the brain that you've been given, okay? Give yourself some daily doses of deep thinking. I had a client recently who does a lot of international travel. And he said, you know, Doug, this has been a terrible month for me. He said, I've gone from one place to another. I'm so confused. He said, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. Well, we talked about it. There's no way his schedule is going to change or get less hectic. It's the nature of his job. But what we talked about is can you set aside some time before a trip and immediately after a trip as private, confidential time by yourself, uninterrupted, to think about either what you're going to do on the trip or what happened on the trip. It's sort of like by having that time to plan for or having that time to summarize mentally at least what went on, you then are ready to let go of it and move on to the next activity. And that is working out great for him. I have a brother who introduced me to the idea of napping many years ago. I figured he was just lazy. It's turned out that he was way ahead of his time. He takes a nap every single afternoon, and he's able to do maybe twice as much work as I was ever able to do, lots of hard physical work, but that is his way of relaxing. He's able to get by with less sleep during the night. He's really got it. You know, the productivity or the potential of our creativity is being compromised by the era in which we live in. You know, I believe that the genius in the 21st century will be attributed to people who are able to unplug from the constant state of reactionary workflow. Reactionary workflow. You know? What is the saying? Are you working in the business or are you working on the business? Working in the business, according to Michael Gerber, is when you are sucked into the day-to-day stuff in a completely reactionary mode. Working on the business is one of stepping back and being aware of, from a strategic point of view, of where the business is going and what are the critical things to do. It's the insecurity we have about reducing the workflow and spending time thinking rather than doing. So, my statement to you today is I encourage you, unplug, meditate, do new things, set aside time to think. You have the ability to come up with the next great idea, the next great thing, whether it is a moneymaker or not a moneymaker, doesn't make any difference. It's in your brain. It's in your hands. All you have to do is give yourself time to realize what your capabilities are, what the world around you needs, and how you can play in that space. If you're a coach, this is even more important than if I was talking to your client directly, because you have not only your own mind in your hands, you have got the client's mind in your hands, and your job as a coach is, can you create an environment for him? Help him to create the environment to come up with new creative breakthrough ideas. Well, this is Doug Gefeller thanking you for being with us today. Join us again next week. I hope that you've enjoyed the show today and that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use right now today to help you identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the only show that takes a look at life from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.